This is Mickey Darling.
And Rachel Reckitt from Crash House.
And you're listening to Power Rock Podcast with host Jim Madonna. Crank it up.
Hey everyone, Jim Madonna here, your host of Power Rock Podcast. I'd like to welcome you all to yet another episode, bringing you the best interviews from around the globe, from indie to mainstream, whether it be rock, metal, speed metal, heavy metal, funk, contemporary, melodic rock, we got it all. And today is no different, because I have on the line two very sexy special guests, Rachel Reckitt, smoking guitarist, and Nikki Darling, in-your-face vocalist of Detroit's own Crash Dolls. Rachel, Nikki, welcome to the show.
Hey there.
Hey, everybody.
Rachel, Nikki, I got to thank you both for giving me a call. You know, this is Power Rock Podcast, first female-fronted punk rock band, and this is truly an honor to have you girls on the show. You know, I've watched your videos, I've listened to your music, the sexy, trashy, rock and roll, in your face, go fuck yourself kind of attitude, I just absolutely love. You guys are awesome.
Thank you. That's great. We love when people respond that way, because that's what the whole point is for us. It's all about putting it out in people's face and pushing them down.
There you go. I love that attitude. I love the attitude. It's great. You know, I'm going to put the ball in your court. You know, Rachel, Nikki, either one of you could take this over. But what I want you to do is give a little history about who Crash Dolls are, how you got started, and, you know, and we're going to rock the house. We're going to play some songs off your self-titled album, Crash Dolls. You know, we're just going to have a rocking time. So the floor is yours.
I was a hooker down in the streets of Detroit, and I met Rachel. She happened to push in on my corner, and I was singing for money.
More money than she was.
Whatever. That's really not the case. But
I did all the shit that I went around the world. She wouldn't do it. You know, we went from there, and we met in the jail cell because we started getting into a fight. And we made friends after we beat each other up.
Yeah, typical. You know, I mean, girls generally don't get along real well until after they have one good cat fight. We kind of continued the cat fight for the last 4 years.
You know, it's ironic you said that. You know, I watched one of your videos. I can't remember exactly which song it was, but Nikki, I watched you push Rachel, like, you know, bitch, get out of my face kind of thing. And, I mean, is that the way you guys roll in real life? I mean, are you just, you know, dogging each other and just having a love-hate type of relationship?
I think we have a love-hate relationship. A healthy love-hate relationship.
Yeah, I think we're like siblings that we love each other to death, but we also will fight like cats and dogs. But at the end of the day, it doesn't change the fact that we're sisters.
The stuff on stage really is just that, you know, Rachel every once in a while, you know, just kind of invades my space a little bit, and I just have to make it a point to let her know. And then she generally has no problem letting me know back, hey, you can't put your hands on me, by generously choking me.
You know, I think part of it, too, is that, you know, when we go into a live situation, our performance, there's like a switch that gets thrown in both of us, and a lot of emotions and very visceral reactions from the music occur, and one of them is that we get a little violent. I mean, I've fueled by aggression. Yeah, I've had, like, bass players in the band come up next to me, and they start to stand next to me, and I just turn to look at them, and I scream in their ear, get the fuck away from my stage. I don't know.
We make ourselves bleed, not just each other, too, you know what I mean? It's just something absolutely 100%. There's an absolute emotion that the music is driven by, that we want everybody to feel what we feel, and sometimes in the process of making somebody want to feel something, you have to feel it, you know, with them.
Yeah, you have to open yourself up to it so much that you become a conduit of this crazy energy in order to bring it to the audience. And sometimes that makes us reckless and crazy. And
we're probably the least introverted that we are in life on stage.
On stage is
definitely where we are opened, and, you know, probably one of the only times that we're that open. Reckitt is smoking. You know, Reckitt falls off the wagon every time.
That's my favorite mode of transportation, apparently.
It's falling off the wagon. It's not the wagon itself. It's falling off.
Right on. You know, the entertainment business is a hard business, and both you girls know that. And, you know, when bands, you know, are getting ready to go on stage, They have conflict with each other. Some of them have the ability to turn that switch off. That argument that they just had prior to hitting the stage. But you girls, you don't turn the switch off. You'll carry that right onto the stage and continue the bitch contest right to the end of the show, won't you?
Oh yeah, we definitely do. And when you said that, as you said that, a lot of them start on stage. There's an occasion that Rachel will give me this look of, what the fuck are you doing? And I don't know if anybody else sees it, but she gives me that look and I get this anger. Like, I'm seriously overwhelmed with this anger that I literally cannot help. And I'm like, what the fuck did you just look at me like that for?
And half the time I'm just looking at her going, I love you. That was the message. Like, oh, you're so cool. I love you. And she's like, why are you doing that?
I totally love the brutal honesty I'm getting on this interview because so many people that I have talked to, Crash Dolls being, I think, number 33 or 34, 34th interview in the last year. You guys got to be by far the most brutal, honest women I have ever spoken to. No punches being held back here. And that's what makes you guys awesome, man. You keep it real. No bullshit. What you see is what you get. You don't like it, move on.
Well, there's actually, to me, I feel like there's a point I'm trying to prove on stage, too, that we rock as hard or harder than the boys out there. And so a lot of times we're facing an audience of guys, the long-haired rock dudes that are standing there going, what do you got? And we're more real and more raw. We're more real, raw, fucking reckless and mean and brutal than they are. And I want to prove it. I want to show it. I run off of the audience. I get my face nose up into theirs and go, what the fuck are you looking at?
They run off stage. All those bitches run off stage and they go home to their wives and their kids. We run off stage and we go home and We live the life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We live and breathe this. It's not,
That's one of the pitfalls of having, like a stage persona is that her and I have both sort of fallen into that. It's like the Alice Cooper thing. We are Nikki and Rachel off stage all the time.
You know what, Rachel? I want to say this to you. I have read blogs of, female guitarists, okay? And, I got to tell you, I was reading a blog the other day about Lizzie Hale from Hailstorm. And I know Lizzie personally. I have had the opportunity to hang out with her. I've had lunch with her. She is such a sweetheart of a lady. However, she's called one of the bad girls of rock and roll. But I got to tell you, I'm just going to keep it real. Lizzie is... What she does on stage is entertainment. It's straight up entertainment because she is not like that at all. She is as humble. The switch is off. You know what I'm saying? But with you, Rachel, you're just, it's 24 hours a day, in your face guitar. And I was totally impressed with your styles, your riffs, what you do is absolutely amazing. And Nikki, of course, that goes for the vocals are just incredible that you got such power and attitude. Man, I can't. Is that there's two other band members that you guys have, Mick and Kevin, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
And you know what? I see some blogs, I see some stuff, and these poor guys are left out of most everything. It's always Rachel and Nikki. I have to believe that...
We tell them to get used to it.
Yeah, that's when they sign up to be in the band, that's kind of part of it. We tell them that, they got every opportunity to get out there and make themselves known and show their stuff. Kevin is a monster on stage as far as a performer, but he basically stays out of our way because we're more violent than him.
I got to tell you, though, I think Mick, your drummer, I think he has the best seat in the house. Hands down, the best seat. He's got the best view. It's in his face. God love him. My wife's probably going to kill me for saying it, but it's okay. But if I could play drums, I would definitely, I'd want to do that. I would want to take his place. You know what? Let's go ahead and talk about your self-titled CD, Crash Dolls. You have several songs that we're going to play. One of the songs we're going to play is Novocaine. What inspired you and what is the meaning behind that song?
That was one of mine and Wreckett's first true attempts at collaboration where we actually worked together on something. And it was actually written later or last,
yeah.
I think. It was the last song that was written on that CD. I think we were in a place where, again, it's just we wanted somebody, we wanted our audience to feel what we were feeling. And I think the words are kind of, self-explanatory. I think we were in a place where maybe we were feeling a little vulnerable and used and angry and, at the same time empowered and self-righteous. I don't really know that there's any kind of necessarily a meaning to it so much as there is just an emotion.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's hard to articulate it because, like you were talking about Nikki's vocals and the power that's there. I mean, if you listen to some of the greatest singers, they're transmitting their emotions through their voice. Like Kurt Cobain, he wouldn't be considered technically like Rob Halford or something like that, but his scream transfers so much emotion, and hers does as well. I think our music, in terms of the songwriting, was the same kind of idea when we first came up with the concept of Crash Dolls, that it was going to be an empowerment of women and be strong and show the guys that girls can really rock hard. It became like an entity that we wanted to represent with every song.
And we didn't want necessarily to be somebody's self-image of or their image of sex so much as that we wanted to be what image we wanted to give you. The dichotomy between sexy and being hard and being aggressive and being pretty and being, I was going to say soft, but I guess we're really not much soft. So.
Well, come on now, let's just get real. I mean, there's got to be some softness to you girls. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, maybe the sickness we have is our softness, or our weakness.
So, okay, right. So your weakness is being soft.
Oh, no. It would be being sick.
Gotcha. I'll tell you what. What we're going to do here is we are going to play the song Novocaine with Crash Dolls on Power Rock Podcast.
Turn it up.
I need more than a friend.
right, we are back with Rachel and Nikki of Crash Dolls. That song, you know, is smoking tune. I totally dig it. You know, I got to be honest. I am relatively new to the punk scene. It's a genre that, for me, even with speed metal, was very hard for me to adapt. And, you know, as I had gone and expanded my horizons and tried to, you know, be more open-minded, Crash Dolls has put that punk rock genre on my list of being just amazing. You know, because I've done interviews from speed metal to folk to heavy metal. You know, now it's punk. And it's an opportunity for me. It's an opportunity for you girls. I just love it, man.
I think our whole point is, you know, I think some of the best music is when you are able to take something that maybe a lot of people don't find palatable, let's say punk rock, and make it palatable for the rockers and make metal stuff more palatable for punk people. And that's what our attempt was, and I think we've done it quite well, is to bring both of those audiences together, bring the music together. It is a dichotomy.
And we really didn't expect the response. I mean, we still, you know, we really expected from people who, you know, enjoy punk, you know, to not be able to see beyond, you know, like the Misfits and the Sex Pistols, and people that enjoy metal, you know, not being able to see beyond, you know, whatever metal rock gods, you know, they were, you know, and we expected, like, people who were, like, metalheads to really be turned off by our music, or, you know, people who were really into punk to be turned off by our music, you know, or to have some kind of, you know, argument, you know, especially with us being women, and that's generally not the case. I mean, we have had our shows where, you know, front and center are the, you know, first 25 guys with their arms folded just staring at you like, you know, you're not shit, you know, and get the fuck off the stage. We're here, you know, waiting for the metal band that's, you know, after you, or whatever the case may be. And, you know, by the end of our first or second song, you know, they're all over the place, you know, pushing monitors onto the stage and, you know, throwing dirt around and, you know, pushing people around and,
yeah, totally getting into it.
Well, that's, you know, yeah, that's what's cool about Crash Dolls is it because, you know, music as a whole, you know, has been pretty much, or recently in the last 15 years or so, has been very generic. It's very repetitious. It's, you know, it's the same old, man, I've heard this shit before, you know, we need something new. And that's why I love to do indie bands, because, and don't misunderstand me, mainstream artists, I love to do them too. But Crash Dolls is one of those bands that are willing and determined to step out of the box and to say, you know what, I don't want to be like you. There already is you. Fuck you guys. I'm going to be me. And if you don't like it again, move on.
Well, we've always said, you know, in 2015, for a band to sound unique is almost unheard of. So whether you like us or not, that's one thing you should definitely give us credit for, is that we definitely don't sound like anybody else.
Our melodies are, you know, completely different than anything that you, you know, hear vocally and musically. Our Rachel's guitar is like forward, you know, in forward and in reverse. You know, I mean, there's just things that push and drive our music that absolutely, I don't even know that, you know, I mean, without serious attempt studying, that people, you know, duplicate, you know, I mean, at this point. Like, our originality, I think, is something that makes, you know, both sides of the fence, both people who are into rock, metal, punk, you know, pop, all of the above, you know, really truly interested, you know, in our music.
Yeah, I think that's one of our big accomplishments. If you look at some of the best bands, they were able to take, you know, something that was not, people weren't sure about, and then bring it to the masses. That's what we're trying to do, although we're not really about commercial appeal as much as doing an artistic statement. But I feel really proud that we've been able to do something that seems to go across the board, you know.
Right. You know, I was going over your biography, and I had read that you guys had played with some other acts, and two acts that really stand out to me is Great White and LA Guns. And, you know, again, I told you about Lizzie Hale.
Yeah, they,
you know,
stand out to us too.
You know, I've spent time with Jack Russell. You know, I've spent time with Phil Lewis. Pictures are in my Facebook account and shit. You know, you're talking about seasoned professionals that have been around for years that are still going at it. You know, they're still around, but that I would have to believe, and I don't want to speak for you, but you know, that has got to be a high for you to be able to say that you had shared the same stage with such amazing and gifted artists as those guys.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. If we're going to be real,
we have a couple others that don't stand help.
Those are the kind of people that we were kind of embarrassed to play with, frankly. When we played with Jello Biafra, who is one of the only living grandfathers of punk music and is an ambassador for punk music, and he loved us. He was out in the audience bouncing around.
And we loved them, by the way.
We loved them. You know, after the show, he came up and said, "You guys are phenomenal." And his whole audience, which he packed the place, you know, and we did too, but we were playing with Negative Approach as well, which is a great hardcore punk band. For that audience to really embrace us the way they did, which the great white art audience embraced us as well, but to have that punk rock audience, we're looking out there at, you know, really punk people. They generally don't want to hear something like a guitar solo or posing and stuff like that, which girls can get away with a little more, but... for them all to embrace us was a huge thing for us. We really felt like we accomplished a lot when the Misfits crowd liked us and Jello Biafra's crowd liked us. That was huge.
Those were accomplishments for Crash Talk.
That was
not necessarily Great White and LA Guns.
Yeah.
The thing I remember the most about the LA Guns show, to be quite frank, is we really had something at that time to prove to ourselves. We really wanted to prove that we are the rock stars in our minds, that we really believe that we are. You know, that we hope our audience does, and played with L.A. Guns in Saginaw, Michigan, was it?
Yeah.
And in the same day, we then hopped in our mobile, and we chucked it over to Chicago, or Illinois, and played in Chicago. And we were, we were exhausted, and it was that Chicago show was one of the most amazing shows, I think, that we ever had. And I don't know if it was a combination of, you know, literally, we pulled in, hopped out, you know, we got off stage on one show, packed up our shit, ran in and got into our vehicle and then took off and literally jumped out and unloaded and jumped on stage and played. And, you know, that was one of the best shows I can actually remember. That was the only thing I really remember about playing with LA.
Well, you know, I brought Great White up, and I brought LA Guns up because, you know, like I said, you know, at heart I'm an 80s metalhead, and I'm new to the punk scene, so the other bands that you were referring to, you know, I can't relate to.
Rachel's up here vomiting a little in her mouth, Mr. Madonna.
That's just wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are a trip.
80s metal makes my fucking hair curl.
Oh, that's the only thing that we ever agree on about metal, by the way. That's the first comment I've ever heard you say about metal. That truly, truly is in agreement with me.
So you're not going to, no fights so far.
No fights so far.
Right on. We're punk girls at heart. We like punk rock. We like, if we're into rock or metal, we like the shit that's a little bit more hard than that hair metal shit in the 80s.
I think we're just more comfortable with every truly awful emotion that a human being can have. And I mean that in like the most sincere, possible way I can, is there's beauty in sadness and hate and anger and aggression.
Yeah.
You know, I don't necessarily see the beauty in the things that I think most people do. I mean, we enjoy a sunny day and we enjoy the green trees and the green grass, but what I really, really love is to inflict pain on an audience, whether it's my emotion or and on myself, or whether it's physical, or whether it's, you know, the pure aggression that you feel when you, you know, are sitting out there, you know, in front of us, my spit, you know, I mean, our sweat, you know,
flinging on you. Yeah.
So you got no problem, either one of you, you know, somebody comes up to the stage, and you got no problem kicking them in the face because they pissed you off or whatever.
Yeah, no problem.
No, pretty much no problem. I've been known to knee a guy in the crotch a few times. All I have.
Yeah.
But they seem to enjoy that. That's another thing about our audience, is I think they're just as sick as we are.
Yeah, actually, the one time that she needed a guy in Toledo, we actually put that up on YouTube, and it just says Nikki Darling. And we put it up because after it happened, the guy said, "I want you to do it again." We wanted to make sure that video was up so that, you know, in case there was damage done to the guy's crotch, we could say, "Hey, you want us to do it again?" It's on video.
Right, it's on video. That was purely for liability purposes.
Right.
Right on. You know, you, from what I'm understanding via your Facebook pages, you're working on a record deal, correct?
Correct.
Yes, we're looking at it right now.
And I know,
yeah,
I know you can't.
In front of us.
I know you can't go into any detail and say who you may sign with, but you know, what's your feelings about that? You know, what's going through your mind? I mean, this has got to be a huge opportunity for both you, or for the band as an entirety. However, as the original, you know, a starter of Crash Dolls, you know, what kind of emotions are you going through?
It's very emotional, frankly, because this is, you got to understand, Bro and I have been together for 5 years. This band's been public for over four. This is our baby. This band is our child. And looking at a contract that, you know, is taking certain control away from us and stuff, it's like handing
your
baby
away.
Yeah, it literally
makes your heart hurt.
Yeah, it's like handing your child to a daycare center that you're not sure about.
Right. Do you feel that, I mean, yes, signing with a record label definitely has its perks. We don't need to get into them. We already know what they are. However, you know, being self-promoted and doing things yourself, and you had stated, you know, you have more control. Do you think that when the deal goes through, you'll have to make any changes as far as your style or?
No.
Rachel and I, we've always said this thing, like a two-headed monster, you know, and it has two egos, it has, you know, two brains, it has two abilities, well, multiple abilities, and I don't think there's any way to harness, you know, necessarily what Crash Dolls is. It's just not possible to harness that.
I mean, anybody who has attempted, in fact, we've been courted by a good number of labels in the last month or so, and a couple of them, and entertainment companies and management companies as well, have come forth with some propositions that, you know, they'll sign us if we do this or if we do that. I don't want to specify because then I'm calling out names, but we will not sign anything where we have to be changed. This band has become as big as it is and gotten as much attention as it is completely because of what we've done on our own. We're not going to change the formula for anyone.
Successful if it isn't exactly what it is. And people wouldn't want it if they didn't like what was.
Yeah, and honestly, sometimes I feel like it's that male thing of looking at two girls and going, okay, you guys did good, but I'm a guy. I know what girls like. I know what guys like, and I know how to fix it and make it a little bit better.
And we've had that from the beginning. We've had managers who wanted to come in and tell us, you know, to wear a uniform, you know, and that be our standard uniform.
Or all
make us more popular. Or if we were all girls, or if we changed our names, or that they could do this for us and do that for us, you know, and we're working on endorsement deals and record deals. And, you know, these are strictly all things Crash Dolls have done, not anything that any outside, identity has done other than, you know, us.
We've done it ourselves. And there's a reason that there's so much attention to us. The formula we have works. That's why.
And we want control of that.
Yeah, we will retain control with any company or we won't sign. That's the bottom line.
We are
going to be signing now, I'm pretty sure.
That's a great attitude to have. You know, you stated before that, you know, about uniforms and stuff. But if I had it my way, I would suggest a nice nurse's uniform, white lace. you know what I'm saying?
A little less close.
Yeah, hey, that's just me. That's just my opinion. But
duly noted.
There you go. There you go. All right, let's go back to the CD. We got a tune here called Female Anarchy. Any history on that?
Yeah, that's actually the first song that was written for the band. It really sort of created the blueprint and, you know, the template of what we were going to be doing from that point on. It's probably one of the most punk songs we did on the first record. We've got some stuff coming up that's punk like it, but that was the song that kind of established this odd dichotomy of being very punk and having a very metal side to it as well, and being able to put the two together. So that's a very precious song, I think, to both of us. It's the first one that really personified what Crash Doll stands for.
Female Anarchy would be your baby of all the tracks that you guys have on the album.
In some ways, it's very, very close to us, yeah.
It's like the embryo of our baby.
That's a great, I love that, the embryo. That's a great analogy. Well put. Well, here it is. Female Anarchy with Crash Dolls on Power Rock Podcast.
I treat your sickness as if I was the cure.
Welcome back. We are with Rachel and Nikki.
Man, why are you touching me?
It makes you tingle.
Why are you touching me?
It makes you tingle.
Get your hands
up. It makes you tingle. If you can't fight.
All right, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to sit back and just listen to you. You know, we're going to put this on the air. I'm just going to sit back and let you guys fight. Go ahead.
I'm going to
I'll take my fucking shirt off.
I'm pushing your stop button.
Whatever.
I'm pushing you.
Don't. My stop button's on me.
Yeah.
Pushed. Fully out. Button pushed.
Yeah. Oh, I apologize.
Okay. Sorry about that. We're not on the air, right?
Oh, yeah. You're definitely on the air. I'm going to leave it. I think it's great. I think it's great because I just get to sit back here and listen and enjoy a good old cat fight. I mean,
we're not fighting. I'm trying to make her soft.
Yeah, she's playing with my nipples, and I hate when she does that.
It makes her soft.
Oh God. Let me ask you this: where would you like to be in your career in, let's just say, 5 years?
Having bands like us opening for us.
We want to be the 21st century's Nirvana. We want to be the Nirvana of the teens.
Yep.
But it's the girls' turn to talk now.
Exactly. We want to be the opposite of Katy Perry. However, I'm not opposed to whipped cream on the nipples or anything.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Alrighty then.
Honestly,
we like making people uncomfortable. I think we like making everybody around us pretty uncomfortable. I think uncomfortable.
Nikki, here's the reality. You got me uncomfortable as hell, okay?
Okay. Oh my God, and this isn't anything yet. This is so tame.
So, you know, I mean, you know,
it's early in the day.
You know, listen, I come from the hard streets too. You know, I mean, I was a pimp. I was a dope dealer. You know, the whole, you couldn't make me blush for nothing, but I'm sitting here going, fuck, I got nothing here. You know, you know, I mean, really, I'm almost getting out of my comfort zone here because you guys are keeping it so real that I'm like, this is just not.
Oh, God, that's nothing. You should hear a practice. We, you know, when there's one swinging dick in the room, he's generally so uncomfortable. It's really hard anymore even to get a rise after 4 years of talking about tampons and tampon strings and, you know, vagina, multiple penises, whatever we could possibly talk about to make, you know, every swinging dick in the room uncomfortable. It's pretty hard to actually shock anybody anymore. You know, I mean, I think they've come to expect from us that, you know, we on average are pretty much going to talk about, you know, what girls generally talk about, but not in front of people.
Yeah, usually girls get together privately and talk about, you know, the guy they banged and what happened. And
our girl talks on stage.
We do the girl talk in front of everybody.
And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that would look at that, your stage presence, your actions, would look at that as completely inappropriate. However,
right.
The problem is that, in my personal opinion, the music business, again, is a very controlled business. And we have been trained to understand what is right and what is wrong. And people have a tendency to, you know, focus on what they've been taught. People have been taught that, you know, it's inappropriate for, you know, women to, it's a, you know.
Well, fortunately for our parents, we chose to pretty much ignore everything that they either taught us or didn't teach us. Pretty much, you know, be exactly who we are and pray for acceptance at that point. we're pretty much impossible to be controlled on any level. So I don't. You know, it doesn't. I'm not offended when people are offended by us. I really don't give a flying fuck if we offend. You know, I mean, people look at us and say, you know, that's not how a lady should act. Well, you're right. It's not. I'm not a fucking lady. You know, I'm Nikki Darling. I'm fucking me. And so, fuck you.
Yeah.
You know, deal with it. Don't have to like me. You don't have to look at me.
We're not. You know, the examples of what we're what. The kids should be.
Yeah, I don't want your daughter to look up to me. I don't want to be a role model for anybody. You know, I just, it's overrated, and I'm not responsible for what mothering you could or couldn't do to your child. I'm not your child's role model.
Yeah.
You know?
We're trying to process our own mental illness and anger towards men, and we're just lucky we haven't actually killed anyone.
We're exactly what happens to you when you don't have a role model. So you probably want to make sure your kids have one, and it's not us.
Yeah.
And if you don't like our music, we don't want you as a fan.
There you go.
If you don't like us because of what we ignite within you, if we ignite, whether it's hate or, you know,
devotion,
either way, we've accomplished exactly what we want. Our haters are our biggest fans.
It's the same goal. I mean, it's the same accomplishment if we've been able to strike somebody so strongly that they recoil in revulsion.
And feel the need to run into church and do Hail Mary.
Yeah, right. We've done the exact same accomplishment as somebody who wants to devote themselves to us forever as far as...
And by our teams.
Yeah.
Our first fans were haters. You know, people, the first people who said anything about us were haters. And then those people said something to somebody else and expected them to hate us as well. And some didn't, some didn't. The great thing about, you know, everything that you do in life and everything that we are is that we're all individual. And most people beyond adulthood are capable of having differences in the things that they like and enjoy and, you know, the way that they want to look and the things that they want to see and the things that they don't want to see and what they want to hear, what they don't want to hear. You know, individuality is a really strong presence and trait in the humanity itself. That itself, nothing but, you know, helpful to us. People are allowed to choose. Let them choose.
Yeah.
Which they want to make.
Okay. Right now, are you just playing the Detroit area or are you moving, you know, state to state or any tours coming up? What's, you know, how about that?
We're currently in Detroit. We're writing and getting ready to record our second CD, and then we'll be off to Ohio to record. And then shortly after that, we have shows lined up.
Played about 7 or 8 different states, and right now everything's kind of in flux to find out what we're going to be doing with the record company and whether we're going to be able to buy onto a big tour or not, or put together a tour ourselves. We're hoping to go national by the fall or so and do a full national tour because we have fans everywhere that are waiting for us. We want to get out there.
We have a huge fan base in, you know, so many different countries.
It's
surprising to us sometimes, you know, where we're big at. I wasn't even aware that they listened to...
Yeah, like Indonesia, South Africa...
Pakistan, Saudi Arabia.
Yeah,
obviously we have a big following in the UK and,
huge,
you know...
There.
You know,
Germany.
Yeah, but...
Japan.
We didn't expect some of the Middle Eastern states or countries and...
Yeah, it's been kind of strange, some of the countries that have embraced us, and we're happy. I mean, there's Crash Dolls fans all over.
We have a lot of shit going on. We're busy as hell, and you know we're trying to make it all happen and make the best decisions that we can for us and the band and our futures and, you know, our fans, keeping it as real as we can.
As far as using utilizing social networks as you know, getting your music out there, you know, we got, you know, Facebook, Twitter, all kinds of crap. Do you feel that it is imperative to remain in contact with your friends or friends and fans?
Not at all. We never have a problem with signing autographs and taking time out for our fans, signing T-shirts, taking pictures. That's actually the opposite, you know. Leaving our signature for tattoos. you know, it's exactly the opposite, you know. I mean, that's the only reason that I really see for doing everything that we do, you know, is to please and make them happy and make them want to come back. They're a part of the experience, too. You know, we want them to experience it. We want them to touch us and talk to us, take pictures with us and interact with us. And, you know, I mean, I think if you look at our Facebook pages, you know, we interact with our fans all the time, whether it be, you know, what we're doing or what we're feeling or what's going on or sharing our lives or, you know, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, we always, since the beginning, we took a very hands-on approach to being so interactive with social networking, and that's resulted in not only helping build our fan base in a crazy way, but a lot of business contacts came out of that, too, from just making friends with people in the industry, so... It's helped us in a lot of ways, but it's definitely kept us in touch with our fans. We feel like we're putting something out there that's pretty awesome, and I don't like the feeling of having to... It's kind of like saying support the troops, and you don't necessarily feel that way. And I'm not saying I don't, but...
You have now become the Dixie Kids.
We love her, and we... I mean, we're personal friends with a lot of those people, but...
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I've got some of the closest friends I have are people who have crashed on our stage, you know.
Yeah.
Wanting, feeling the need to be up in attention of, you know, us instead of us being in attention of them. You know, I mean, a lot of our fans are, you know, just as upfront and in your face as we are. And, you know, I mean, when you, you know, we'll grab a hat off somebody's head and throw it across the audience or... You know, I'll grab you by the nape of the neck, you know, and push you away from my stage if I don't want you there. You know, I mean, I'll throw a styrofoam head at you. You know, I'll kick a freaking mannequin at you. You know,
yeah.
I'll threaten you with an arm. You know, we want you to, you know, to be interactive with us. We want you to enjoy it, but we really have nothing to prove to anybody but ourselves.
Yeah.
And if you like it, you do. If you don't, you don't. We really don't give a fuck. We're going to do it if you do like it. We're going to do it if you don't like it. We love our fans to death. They get us.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to explain. They get us. They feel it. They get us.
You know what I think it is partially? You know, I sometimes look out in the audience and I see the kind of jock, racist, sexist.
They respect us. We're not lying to them.
Yeah, I see sometimes those kind of people. I think I don't even want to play to them. But then I see those people, and you look out there and you see the right faces, the ones who, you know, they're not beating their wife when they go home, and you know that they have a gay friend or they are cool with all races and stuff like that. To us, that's important. Those people who are assholes, I wish they'd stay home. I'm not into them anyway.
I have friends that dress in drag. We have people that come to our shows. We have cross-dressers. We have, you know, punk people. We have long-haired people. We bring together such an eclectic, you know, group of people. We've had shows where we've got, you know, metalheads at the stage. We've got cross-dressers sitting at tables. We've got, you know, people with mohawks walking in the foreground. There's nothing like being somewhere where everybody and everything is accepted.
Yeah.
And everybody leaves having had a good time. Nobody's hurt unless it's pain we inflicted upon you or we leave in pain. It's not people hating each other.
Yeah.
If you don't like us, because we don't want you to fucking like us. We don't fucking care.
And our next show is probably going to be playing at a gay wedding.
Yeah, you know, we're going to be the wedding singer for
Bob and Tom.
Bob and Tom, or Neil and Bob.
Neil and Bob.
Wow, hey. That is awesome. To the album, self-titled album, Crash Dolls, U.S. Punk Bombs. How about some history on that tune?
That was, I wanted to get something that sounded like an anthem, something that people would yell along to, and I was really into sort of the explosions, and if you notice, there's like ray guns in it, and there's samples. I just wanted to throw all that stuff together and make like an anthem for it. I think it's a powerful song.
It is a powerful song. Matter of fact, I'm going to be honest with you, it's one of my favorite songs. The intro is really cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's really a great song. Well, here it is, U.S. Punk Bombs with Crash Dolls on Power Rock Podcast.
Crash Dolls.
Again, we are back with Rachel and Nikki.
Hey, everyone.
The next song I want to play off the Crash Dial CD is Dumpster Punk.
Oh, yeah.
That'll get you for some adrenaline.
You want to share some history on that, or do you just want to crank it out?
Crank it up.
Dumpster Punk up, baby.
All right, well, here it is. Dumpster Punk with Crash Dials on Power Rock Podcast. Welcome back. We are with Crash Dials. And girls, I just want to tell you, I truly thank you from the bottom of my heart, you guys taking your time. You have certainly enlightened me on some stuff that I got to say, I'm blown away. You've stunned me. You've shocked me. You have put me in my place.
You know why?
Tell
it's
me.
Because you get it. It's because you get it. And that's what we like about the people that like us and listen to us is, you know, when to shut the fuck up, they just get it.
They get it. And we love you because of that.
We appreciate it. You know, we appreciate you letting us derail your train that you were trying to be the conductor of and, you know, on a, you know, everyday basis that doesn't work for anybody around us.
So we derail any train we're here.
We really do. But, you know, we really do appreciate you giving us your time as well and letting us, you know, hijack your train.
I wish you guys the utmost success in all that you do. I don't care what happens. I wish good things for you. I hope to see you on that main stage. I hope to get to see that record deal. I want to see Crash Dials grab people by the fucking hair, kick them in the teeth, and let them know that you've been there.
Right on. That's what we're doing.
And we're going to take them there with us.
There you have it. An interview with Crash Dials on Power Rock Podcast. I am your host, Jim Madonna. Peace.